Hello, it's the Red Visor here, coming to you from Amsterdam, which, despite the weather today, is still one of the most charming places in all of Europe. And coming to you now from one of the most charming places in all of Las Vegas, it's the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. Enjoy.
Hey, on today's Living in Las Vegas. Okay, I think it's safe to say that we've established that it's pretty cool to live here. That's kind of a cool backdrop, but the real question is, is it cool to have a business in Las Vegas? The answer is yes. So on today's show, we're going to talk about how to start a business in Las Vegas. And guess what? You don't even have to live here to do so. Plus, we've got real quick stories, live chat questions, listener email, and of course, have a drink on me. This is a Living in Las Vegas podcast where, if you're lucky, you'll be able to run a business that has cryptic lettering on the front door. What does any of that mean? Nobody knows. Let's get started. Living in Las Vegas starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home, the Living in Las Vegas podcast. Let's go! And now your host.
Yes?
A man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was.
Sing about this, buddy.
Mr. Scott Whitney. Welcome, everybody, to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network. Oh, thank you very much. What a nice audience. Hey, by the way, let me congratulate you because you are watching or listening to the longest running podcast about Las Vegas that actually originates from Vegas, which means we're not only going to cover what it's like to live here, but we're going to talk about adventures on the Strip, Fremont Street, downtown, other cool places here in the Valley. And by the way, if you're a fan, if you're a visitor, if you're a tourist of our fair city, well, this show is like your own secret handshake to all things cool and groovy about this here town. Hey, we're live every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific time at VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. That's VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Be a part of the show. We had people here 70 minutes before the show in the live chat, hanging out, singing songs, making brownies. It was a lovely thing. And if you're in the live chat, that means you are a part of the show. So we would absolutely recommend and invite you to join us. Hey, I'm your host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa, buenas noches, how you doing, hot stuff? I am the owner of the Vegas Video Network, been an online broadcaster now for 10 years professionally. Thank you so much for hanging out today. I'm going to be doing this show today as a solo artist. I'm kind of breaking away. I'm like Lionel Richie. I don't need those Commodores. It's just you and me, baby. Babe, give me a Commodore song. Brick House, you are my brick house. Okay, over under, well, this might be a short show, although I got a lot of live chat questions. Let's go with 75 and a hook. New in the live chat, well, we're not quite clear on this, but Teddy Bear 429, who claims to have been here before, he claims his name is Matt from Canada. Quite frankly, when we asked him, when we got into it and asked him, hey, how did you find out? He said that he discovered our show at the back of a porn magazine, which proves that print is not dead. Congratulations, Teddy. Also, a thanks to Stuart Poynier for the opening video. And by the way, I hope you like Stuart, because if we don't get any more of these opening videos, I've got about five more from Stuart. So we're going to see him across the great world, unless you, the greatest people of the world, send in one of those videos. We'll tell you how to do that. By the way, somebody asked about the temperature here. It was upwards yesterday and today. It was 114 degrees, but it's cooled down quite a bit. It is 109 degrees. And like we like to say, it's a dry heat, but so too is an oven. Did I say prom or porn? I meant porn. Maybe I should have said prom. It's hard to say with Teddy. Okay. How to start a business in Las Vegas. Here's an interesting observation that I've made during my 10 years here in the Las Vegas. It seems to be that a large number of people come to Vegas or are in Vegas with the idea of either starting their own business or already having their own business. Now, clearly, some people were forced to do that. Why? Well, when the recession hit back here in a few years ago, it was brutal. I mean, besides, you know, the housing market taking a shit, you know, we had one of the highest unemployments in all the country. And as a result, a lot of people who really didn't want to be starting their own business started. And quite frankly, some of those people had no business starting a business, but they started anyways. So what we want to do, and by the way, I think part of the reason why that happens, why people come to Vegas is because to start a business is because they think it's for some reason easier here than other places. And in some ways it is. A lot of people think it's probably sexier to start a business here. And in some ways it may be. I mean, having a Vegas address, for example, is kind of cool. But other than that, you still have to follow certain steps to be able to start a business in Vegas. And the first thing we want to talk about is think about it from the business side, the viability side. In other words, before we get into how do you run a business in Las Vegas, we should first talk about, is your business even viable? You got to be asking yourself, what problem do you solve? Nobody cares what you do. They only care what you do for them. So you have to really think about, are you creating something that makes sense, that people actually want? Not that's cool. I mean, I've worked with a lot of companies, especially big companies, who have created content, who have created products, but they couldn't figure out what it did. They did it because it was cool, but it really didn't serve any purpose. And so that's a problem. If you're a small business, you have to figure out the problem you solve. By the way, the next thing to ask yourself is, do you have what it takes to run your own company? It's very different from working for somebody than it is to run your own business. And a perfect example of that is Melissa. Melissa is smart as hell. When we first moved to Vegas, she was working for a large company in the Bay Area and was working remotely. And she thought, you know, I think I kind of like to get into real estate. I like the real estate world. I like, you know, that kind of environment. I think I'd be good at it. So she went down the path of being a realtor, and she took the test and she got her license and all that. But then she discovered pretty quickly, A, it's a lot of flakes in Las Vegas, but B, she didn't like the running the business part of running your own business. It's not just about the product that you do, it's the day-to-day stuff that keeps the business running that if you don't get comfortable with it, either you have to hire somebody to do it, which may be hard if you're just starting, or you gotta just do it. And if you don't do it, well then guess what? Your business falls apart. So I'm not sure exactly how long she took to make that decision. And I basically said, you can take as long as you want. Just, you know, decide what you want to do. And she eventually said, I don't like not having other people around me. I don't like having other people run those kinds of issues that I just don't want to do. So she, you know, went back into, in her case, recruiting, and ended up being a good decision for her. She's doing very well where she's at now. But you have to figure out, you know, do you have what it takes? The next thing is, are you willing to work long hours? It's a great line about working for yourself, which is basically, are you willing to work 80 hours so you don't have to work 40? Meaning, are you willing to work hard so you don't have to work for somebody else? When I first started my very first company, which was called Whitney Communications, it was a high-end website design company back in 98. I was up until 2 a.m. every day, working, building, thinking, marketing, designing, doing whatever, because I was freaked out that I wouldn't have revenue. So I was hustling my ass off. But the good news was I loved it. It was exactly what I wanted to do. I jumped because I felt it was the reasonable test for me to do. I wanted to test my ability to be my own business guy. I started off out of high school. I didn't go to college because I had a 2.5 grade point average, and I thought that whole SAT thing was elective. Come to find out, it was not. So I was supposed to go to Long Beach State for a music scholarship. They kind of even recruited me, but when they realized I didn't have what I needed, SAT scores, 2.5 GPA, it didn't work out. So I ended up going to the Air Force. Now, I could have gone to the Air Force, and I could have lived there, worked there for 20 years. I could have retired at 38 years old. But after 4 years, actually after about 2 years, I recognized this is no good. You can't get fired from the Air Force unless you, well, you know, basically kill somebody. Otherwise, you're pretty much going to stay in. Now, I had the interesting experience of testifying against somebody in a court martial. He got fired because he was an idiot and turns out a racist. And you can get fired for being a racist in the Air Force, by the way. And I watched it happen. He actually got a felony because he was a racist. Long story. I'll probably tell you that in the post show. I realized, you know, it's not really a test for me. So I wanted to go off and be in the private sector. So I got a job in the private sector, and I, you know, moved up the corporate ladder. But then I decided, well, this is fine, but I really want to test myself. So this is great if you want to test your ability to run your own show, because guess what? You are running your own show. And then the other question is about the viabilities. How are you with selling? And this stops most people. You have to be comfortable in selling yourself or selling your product. One of the most common things I get for co-op members, you know, they recognize they want to do video. It makes sense to them. But they have a hard time sometimes talking about themselves, especially if they are the product. So if it's a consulting kind of business, oh, I don't really like to brag about myself. Well, it's not bragging if it's true. Well, it can be. But the idea is, are you comfortable in crafting a story around your product or service that people will listen to? But you have to be comfortable in doing it. And as I've said before, as a coaching tip to co-op members, you don't need to be nervous if you truly believe that the product or service you're offering is good. Because the truth is, if you don't offer it to people, you're doing them a disservice, right? So take ego out of the way and just know that I've got good stuff to offer and I want to offer it to you. And if it's a fit, great. If it's not, that's fine as well. Okay, next. The concept of a business plan. Pretty much anywhere you go, they'll say you have to have a business plan. Now, come to find out, I've never done a business plan. I've run three companies, and they've all done just fine. But what a business plan will do is it will talk about a couple of things. What's the problem you solve? So we talked about that. You have to know what you do. Oh, by the way, problem is two things. A lot of people think it's this pain management thing. It's not. Problems are either the desire for enrichment or reward, what we call a gold medal, or it's the desire to reduce pain, which we call German Shepherds. So problems are both of those things. So you do, whether or not you have, now business plans are good. You know, I've seen people do business plans. They've been super helpful. I think they're a good idea. If you want funding, you have to have a business plan. There's no question about it. I've seen business plans help people recognize what they can and can't do. I've seen business plans, when written, expose huge weaknesses in a business that I think the owner probably would not have known had it not been viewed by somebody else. So there is some value to that. I haven't done it, but I come from a very different perspective, which is if this is no good, I ain't doing it. As a matter of fact, I've started three businesses, all of which have been profitable. I've had many more business ideas, but as I did the work and thought about it, I thought, nope, this is not going to work for me. Or actually, there's not enough people, which speaks to the next thing. The other thing that a business plan will think about, whether you write this or not, is what's referred to as the total addressable market. And that means how many people could buy your product or service. If you've got a great idea, but only one person will buy from you, and that one person will only buy once, let's say, that's probably not a sustainable product unless that one product's several million dollars. But the truth is, you have to figure out, okay, I sell this thing. How many people would be potential buyers? Again, total addressable market. So if so we've got Danny in the live chat. Danny sells on eBay. So what's the total addressable market for people who buy on eBay? Well, it's a shitload. I think that's the technical term, just under a shitload. So definitely there's a business to be had there. The next question is, what are you going to do that is going to separate you from the competitive herd? How do you separate yourself? Okay. Next step, Let's say that you have a problem that you understand how to figure out. You think you've got a total addressable market that makes sense. The next thing is financing. And this is the number one thing that turns believability of a company into bullshit. And that is, you don't have any money. Again, this happens a lot. That people come in, my business here, especially the co-op, has exposed me to a lot of small business owners. And you know, the people who are co-op members, you know, pretty much have their shit together. But there's been a lot of people who come in and who are all chitty-chitty chat-chat until you say, you know, so what's your budget? Oh, I don't have a budget. Wait a minute. You're telling me you've got this great idea, but you've got no money to actually get this. You have to create your own runway. Now, whether you bootstrap, which is what I've done, I am not comfortable being beholden to other people, or you decide you want to get financing either through angels or VC or through a bank loan or whatever, you've got to have money to get started. Otherwise, people simply will not take you seriously. And by the way, you can sense that people recognize that after a while. Meaning, when you ask somebody, what's your budget? And they sheepishly say, well, you know, we don't really have one. Besides not looking good, it doesn't feel good. So before you start going out and chatting with people about your great business idea, I'd strongly recommend that you figure out how you're going to cover it. Now that may be, it may not be a lot of money, you know, and maybe you do a lot of things yourself. You know, that's one of the things that was helpful for me is I did a lot of the things that would normally cost me money myself. Okay, great. But you still have to have money set aside. For example, when I started my first business, Whitney Communications, which was the website design company, I had put aside a great deal of money to make sure I could survive. And I had a number of months in my head that I wanted to be able to survive, give me a chance to get off the ground. If you don't do that, if you just are running around bullshitting people and you're going to these, you know, you're doing the networky thing and you're talking to people, you're shaking hands or shaking babies, that's not it, man, because you're going to be like every other fuckwad over here in Las Vegas who is all full of shit, and you're just going to be put in this bucket that no one will respect. And after a while, you cannot get traction. And I'm seeing it all the time. So give yourself a breath. Figure out what in other words, whip out the spreadsheet, folks, and know what it's going to cost to start your business. Okay. Got that aside. Now we got to figure out what you're going to call this thing. You should not call it by your name. It should not be Scott Whitney Inc. Well, it shouldn't be because it's my name. But don't call it your name. That's ridiculous. What you want to do is come up with a name that is unique. And this is important. A unique name is muy importado for your business, because if it's not unique, it can be very costly. There's a concept, a legal concept called confusion in the marketplace. And if you get caught in this, it can cost you a lot of money. Here's a true story. So my second business, I was a full-time musician. So I was playing live gigs and I sold a bunch of CDs. And before I started a company, I was just selling these CDs, and I came up with a name for these CDs. So this was the Crystal Acoustic and eventually Crystal Acoustic 2 CDs. I came up with a name of these CDs called the Signature Series. I was selling them to folks who were then giving them away as gifts. And so I called them Signature Series because I signed every CD. So, you know, at that time I ended up selling 55,000 CDs. Of the ones I signed about 20,000 CDs. So much so that I actually forgot my signature after a while. I just had a block. Anyway, so I called it Signature Series because the artist, me, was signing every CD. And so the people who were giving them away say, hey, I discovered this artist. I asked him to sign it for you. It's all pretty cool. It's a great story. So I'm doing this, and we're making a shitload of money. You know, in the CD business, if you're a musician, a signed artist, you're lucky to make 50 cents on a CD. I was making 10 bucks a CD or less, you know, between $5 and $10, depending on how many I sold. It was huge. So I'm living good, feeling pretty good. People were loving me. We're closing a lot of business. I had a sales and marketing platform that was just crushing it. And then I get a letter, a certified letter, which are always chilling. And I open it up, and it's from a company called the CD Guys. And it was from their lawyer. And basically the lawyer said, you are confusing the marketplace. You are selling something under the brand named Signature Series. Come to find out, that's what we call our CDs, the Signature Series. So at this point, I began to pucker, if you know what I mean, because they were right. And there was not a damn thing I could do about it. So at this point, they could have really made my life miserable. And this is just at the beginning of the Christmas season, which is when this starts to happen. You know, sales were really going well for me. And so they're like, yeah. Now here's where life got good for me. He said, now listen, we know this is the holiday season and you know we're all trying to do the best we can. So we would respectfully ask that after the end of the season, you would cease and desist using the Signature Series brand. Now, so I went to my dad who happens to be a lawyer and I said, what do you think about this? My dad said, he's right, you need to stop. Now, good news was the next year I was doing a completely different packaging, so the signature thing wasn't going to happen anyways, but it didn't matter. I said, thank you for the letter. I absolutely will not be doing this again. God bless you. Continued success. See ya. Had I not had my father for a lawyer, at the minimum, that would have cost me $500 probably to have, you know, a response. And I think I had my dad write the letter back, you know, my attorney. And so, I don't know, it's $500 or whatever it is. That's $500 I wouldn't want to spend. So be damn sure that your product name is not going to be a cause of conflict within the marketplace. Okay, let's talk about Las Vegas specific stuff. First of all, Nevada is an amazing place to start a business. There is no income, capital gains, or corporate income, or corporate capital gains tax in Nevada. And here's the magic part. You don't even have to be in Nevada to have a business in Nevada. My second company, Timberworks Music, was a Nevada corporation. I was in California when I did that. Now, what else is good about Nevada corporations? It's a concept called a corporate veil. So in Nevada, they are very, very specific about what you can and cannot see and what you can and cannot do to the owners of a company in Nevada. And what the corporate veil basically says is you are completely blocked from legal obligation to any of your customers, and you can actually make it so they don't even know who you are. Now, how do you – actually, let me back up for a second. If you sue a company in Nevada, you are suing the company, not the individuals. In all of time and history, only one time has a lawsuit against a company in Nevada actually ended up being found against the individuals in Nevada, and that one time was because of fraud. So they committed fraud, and those people were individually held liable. So don't commit fraud, but otherwise, you're blocked from being held personally responsible. Now, if you want to have a business in Las Vegas, having a Las Vegas address is pretty cool, which is what I had for Timberworks Music, even though I was in California. You have to have something here called a registered agent. So there has to be a human, a physical address, and somebody who can respond to that kind of stuff. But guess what? There's a boatload of companies that do that, and I'll give you an example of a few in a second. Okay, so the next thing you have to figure out is what kind of entity do you want to be? What you almost never want to be is a sole proprietorship, which is basically Scott Whitney. That's bad, bad news. There's no value from a tax perspective. You are clearly at risk from a legal perspective. It's just not smart business. So you have to figure out where you want to be, typically an LLC, a limited liability company or partnership, or an S corp or a C corp. I will tell you, you almost never want to be a C corp. My first company, Whitney Communications, was a C corp, and that, folks, was stupid because I was basically double taxed. A C corp has their own taxes. So I would get money in, the C corp got taxed, and then I would pay myself, and guess what? I got taxed again. So I was double taxed on the money coming into Whitney Communications. That's not very smart. So for example, Podworks is an S corp, and the way that works is the money, you have your own tax return for the company, but the profits come on down to your personal tax, which means you're taxed only once. So when you file your business tax, when I file the Podworks tax, I don't pay taxes on that. That money just then comes to Scott Whitney's income, and I pay tax on that, just like regular income, basically. And there are some other subtleties about that. For example, for an LLC or an LLP, typically those are done if you have a bunch of partners in a particular business. The cool thing is, how do you do this? So you can go and do this yourself. You can file for an LLC or an S-Corp. In Nevada, there's a website called silverflume.com. That's the state's website for doing that yourself. It can be a little confusing. So like the first one for Whitney Communications, I did myself. I think for Timberworks, I did myself because now I knew how to do it. Podworks, I may or may not have done it myself. Vegas Video Network is an LLC. I had somebody else do that. As a matter of fact, I had Nevada corporate headquarters. So I have two co-op members who are actually in the business of incorporating people, primarily in Nevada, no matter where they are. One of them is Nevada corporate headquarters, and the other one is corporate capital. Both of those are co-op members. They're both run by great guys, and they're competitors, by the way, and they cooperate quite nicely. It's pretty impressive, actually. So if you're looking to do that, whether you're in Nevada or not, send me an email and I'll give you their information for either Nevada corporate headquarters or corporate capital. Okay, so once you've got your entity figured out, what's the next thing that Nevada requires? And basically anyways, and that is what's called an EIN, which is your employer identification number. You can think about this as just like, it's like your social security number. So we have social security numbers. Every real business has an EIN number. Now, what does it cost to do that? It doesn't cost you anything to do that. Where do you get that? From the federal government. How long does it take? About 10 minutes. Literally, you fill in the stuff, and 10 minutes later, right then and there, you're given an EIN number, and then they'll send you a note from, I think it's the IRS, who also gives you your EIN number. Why do you need that? Well, you're probably going to open a bank account. Let's hope so. Let's hope that you have positive cash flow. You're not opening a bank account unless you have an EIN number. So you got to do that. That's also the number they're going to track, for example, if you move into like doing a corporate credit card. If you want to establish corporate credit or business credit, it's the EIN number that you have, not your social security number. Okay, now we got to get legal. Nevada wants you legal. Got to register with the Department of Taxation. Do you need a resale permit, for example? Are you buying and reselling stuff? You have to know that. So they'll walk you through the type of business you have and then eventually what you have to pay. Do you have to pay quarterly? Do you have to pay monthly? Do you have to pay yearly? All that stuff gets figured out by the Department of Taxation. And then you have to apply for a business license. Where can you apply for a business license? Well, there's three groups of business licenses that happen here in Nevada. There's a state business license, there's a city business license, and then there's a county. So for example, state Nevada, county Clark, and then the city, perhaps Las Vegas. Okay, so you have to do a state business license, that's just the deal. Now, the question is, do you have to do a city or county, or do you have to do both? And here's what happened with me. When I moved to the new place, I already had my state license, knew I wanted to get a city, started working with a casino here in Las Vegas on the Strip, and they wanted to add me to their approved vendor list, but there was a few things I had to do. By the way, one of them is insurance. You have to get business insurance, and it's a variety of different business insurances that you have to have. So that's got to be on your checklist. But one of the things they required was a business license from the city and from the county. Now, the way it works in Nevada is you have to have a business license for the city, for whatever city you're in. So if you're in Las Vegas, you have to have a Las Vegas business license. If you're in Henderson, well, then a Henderson license. If you're in North Las Vegas, then a North Las Vegas license. Here's where it gets a little tricky. What happens if you're in unincorporated Las Vegas or in Clark County, basically? Well, then you would get a county license, you wouldn't get a city. Now, is there an exception? There is, and I happen to be the exception, or Podworks is. So when I'm talking to this casino, they said, well, we require a state, a county, and a city license. I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. I'm in the city of Las Vegas. I don't need to have a county business license. They said, well, you can't be in our approved vendor list if you don't get it. I'm like, okay. Now, I could have spent some time debating back and forth, but I did some research, and actually, they didn't know this, but they were right to ask for a county business license, but they didn't understand the reason. Here's the reason. If you are doing business, let's say you're in Las Vegas, you have your city license for Las Vegas, but if you do business in for a customer in the county and you're traveling to their property, you then have to have a county business license. So if you're in unincorporated Clark County and you're working with, say, somebody on the Strip, because everybody on the Strip, that's not Las Vegas, right? That's unincorporated Clark County. If you do business on their property, you actually have to have a county business license. Again, they didn't know that, but that's the reason they should be telling people that. So I now have all three of these deals. What happens if you want to run your business out of your house? Well, then you have to have a home occupation permit, because some places won't let you do that. By the way, you also want, if you're in a HOA, a homeowners association, you have to check the CC&Rs, because some HOAs, besides being Nazi-like, also won't allow you to do that. And I guarantee you, if they do allow it, they're going to have very specific language about, for example, signage. They're very concerned with how the traffic will be affected by you. You have to manage and get those people to be calm for all that. And that's basically it. So you've got to get your entity figured out, your EIN, you got to get legal, and then you're off and running. Now, is there more? Of course there's more to this. You have to start figuring about your outbound look to people. So you have to get a website. Let me just say this. Avoid creating electronic brochures. And that is what 95% of all websites are. They're just electronic brochures. It's a brick wall, basically, with a bunch of flyers stuck on it. If you do that, you look like everybody else, and it's pretty hard to separate yourself from the competitive herd if you behave just like your competitors. So try not to do that if you can avoid it. Your location. Where are you physically going to be? As I mentioned before, that will have some effect on you with regards to the types of licensing you get, but it will obviously affect the kind of business you'll get. And I'll give you another example. Our first studio, which was on Convention Center Drive, great address, shit location. Super difficult for parking. The people who were running the place were idiots. It was a drag. It was handy in that it was close to the Strip, steps from the Las Vegas Strip, as we've been saying before on this network. But man, it was a pain in the ass to deal with. Where I am now, I don't know, order of magnitude better. So much better, easier parking, great deal. It's just, I'm giddy. Then you gotta start thinking, your sales and marketing efforts. What are you gonna do to start getting the word out there? What is your story? You know, and I'm one of those guys that I don't talk to anybody until I have really thought out my story and really tried to poison it. I think they call it the Red Meeting or Red something, where you basically take a story or an idea to a group of people, and their job is to play devil's advocate, basically, just to try to beat the hell out of your idea. So be your own devil's advocate. Try to find the weakness in your product or service so that you can manage it and fix it. And then, of course, you've got to think about hiring. Oof. That's the hardest thing, I think, in Las Vegas. Of course, there are legal issues here. There are things that you can and can't say during an interview. Man, I tell you, you find good people, it's a joy. You find bad people, it is not great. And I'm going to tell you one more true story before we take a break, and that is I got an email about a week or so ago from somebody, Rosalie. And the email basically started, hey, just want to thank you and Melissa for the Living in Las Vegas podcast. It's because of you that I had the gumption to move to Las Vegas. Now, that by itself is a pretty cool email. And we get a couple of those every once in a while, but man, oh man, that's pretty cool. Then she went on to say, the reason why I'm writing to you is because I want to work for you. I want to work for Podworks. And then she went on to explain, you know, where her head was at, and that she wants to get out of where she is and get more into technology, that she had no idea about it, that she wanted to, you know, just intern, do it for free. And she was super articulate, really passionate about it. I was very impressed. So I wrote her right back and said, listen, I don't have an opening right now, quite frankly, but click this link, get yourself on my calendar. Let's talk. Let's see what you're made of. And I gave her one tip. I told her, you need to know about my company before you come into my office. I need you to know that you've done the research. And so she set up the appointment. And in the appointment, she's like, I thank you so much. She's very appreciative. And I'm going to research the hell out of your company. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to do, what I'm trying to learn, and how I'm going to be a help for you. And I'll be able to answer your questions about your company. Boom. So like I said, I don't have anything lined up for her. And if she's listening, this is probably not helpful from an interview perspective, but I'm going to do everything I possibly can to find something for her to do, because if she's anything like what she's done from an email perspective in just those couple back and forth, I think she's going to be awesome. So that's it. Finally, let me say this. If you do start a business here, either physically or remotely through a resident agent, I wish you all the luck. There really is nothing as groovy as working for yourself. It is often some of the most frustrating stuff you'll ever do. But I'll tell you what, when things are going well, holy crapamoda, it's the coolest thing in the world. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. This is a Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. This episode of Living in Las Vegas is brought to you by the Vegas Video Co-op. Because your online presence is often your only chance to begin a meaningful sales conversation, please take a moment and visit VegasVideoCoop.com. Highlight your business, start a talk show, or unleash your genius for a low monthly fee. Use promo code LILV for a special discount to our viewers and listeners. That's VegasVideoCoop.com. No, that's not what we're going to listen to. Get back over there, you rat bastard. Okay. Hey, time for listener email. By the way, I see some of you guys are having some problems with the live stream in that this weird black screen commercial thing pops up. I don't know what's going on there. I've seen it come a couple times. I haven't been able to duplicate, but I know it's happening. So I'll reach out to live stream tomorrow and see if they can explain what's going on, because I know it's complete bullshit. And I apologize for that. Okay, listener email, a couple questions that we got. One, the first one is from Jimmy Tugies in the live chat, and Jimmy writes, hey, Scott. My wife and I are coming to town July 2nd, and I wanted to see Love. There are a lot of seating choices and price differences. Are the less expensive seats good? Is it worth paying more? Any recommendations on the best seats for the price would be way cool. Also, if you're up for drinks on Saturday, I'll be at Paris. Thanks in advance. Oh, thanks for the advice, Jimmy Tugies, who leaves his cell phone, by the way. I think he wants me to call him directly. Hi, Jimmy. Love. Winner of the Pick Your Poison Best Cirque Show several weeks ago. And here is the thing about Love. The first time I saw Love, I walked into it being disappointed because of my seats. They were pretty far away. And I couldn't tell you exactly. The Love arena, if you will, is kind of a weird star-like setup. It's weird. So I got there. I'm like, oh, well, this is going to suck. We're way far away. But what are you going to do? I got the family there. I'm not going to sit and bitch about it. Fast forward an hour or 90 minutes, and I'm like, holy shit. I've said this before. This is the most impressive thing I've ever seen. It took me 3 days to recover. It was so impressive. I mean, these humans did great work. So the truth is, and the second time I went and saw Love, I got better seats. So was there a difference? Yeah, I enjoyed it more the second time because the seats were better. But the real question simply is, what's your budget? This is not about you spending a ton of money just to get great seats, because quite frankly, I had what I thought were crappy seats and I was unbelievably affected. I had great seats and I was still affected by it, but I also spent a lot more. I mean, you can spend hundreds of dollars for these tickets. So all I would say to you, Jimmy, is simply decide what your budget is. And once you decide, get on in there and buy what you can. And by the way, give them a call. I wouldn't order online. You're usually not going to get the best deals there. You're going to be better off if you give them a call, because usually they will have deals that aren't listed on any website. And then do a search for any kind of discounts. A lot of the Cirque shows now are doing like buy one, get one free, or buy one, get the second ticket for $39. You'll see those things around, and they're pretty easy to find. By the way, good luck on on watching the show, because it's a terrific show. Okay, next question is from Gene Pops. He writes, "Dear Scott, I'll try to be brief. Here's my two questions." Brief. 1A, on both east and west sides of the strip, what is the last viable property before the unfinished construction areas when heading north past Wynn, headed toward the now closed Riviera? What is the last viable property before unfinished? Well, I'm not sure if you mean properties that you can go to now or blank spots, but of course there's Slots of Fun and there's Circus, there's SLS, and if you go a little bit farther, of course, there is Stratosphere. B, is Peppermill still open, or did it die with the closing of the Riv? It is open and thriving. Nothing is going to kill Peppermill. It is like a cockroach. C, is there anything left open on the corner by Circus and the world's largest gift shop and dildo store, it seems, except for those two places? Yep. On the northeast corner, there is a giant, it's either a CVS or a Walgreens, I can't remember which one it is. Like I said before, there's the SLS on the southeast corner. The southwest corner is a big blank space. It used to be an RV park for Circus. Now it's MGM's outdoor park. So they've done some country western stuff. They did that real big, what was that concert, Ted, that they had last year? It's usually in Brazil or whatever. That played there. I don't think they're really doing Rock in Rio. Thanks, Ted. So that's on the southwest. And then the south or northwest is the world's biggest, Then right next to it is a condo. And right next to that is where Lucky Dragon is being built. Which started and then stopped, and it started again. We drove by, I think, a couple weeks ago, and it looked like they were doing construction again, so it appears to be alive. And then finally, 1D, what do you know about upcoming plans for this whole area? Well, so the real question is Fontainebleau, what's happening there? So that's been held for the longest time. There was rumors that it was about to be sold. No one really knows. But it's just sitting there. It is a big hassle. It's a damn shame. Resort World, I think that's an upcoming question in the live chat, in a live chat question. But this is another weird thing for me. You know, they're spending time doing something back there. It looks like they've done something with the parking structure. They spent a boatload of time putting up signage and walls in front of it all around the border. They've renamed the street, I believe, to Resort World. So they're trying to do something, but you know, who knows? And with regards to Riviera, that's being torn down for a convention center space. So they're basically expanding from Paradise and Convention Center Drive all the way up to Las Vegas Boulevard will be new convention center space, which is a shitload of space. All right, part two of his question. If you were looking to have a casual lunch meeting more focused on eating and talking than drinking and partying, a place where you can hear without yelling with good, moderately priced food, all while staying at least sober enough to go back to work afterwards, where would you pick? Okay, there's probably three locations. I'm thinking downtown, the Strip, and then off Strip. For downtown, I'd go to Triple George. That made a pick-your-poison power lunch place. It's a upper-end-ish kind of place, but it's not terribly expensive, and lunch is going to be cheaper anyways. For the Strip, you know, the Strip really does focus a lot on the party kind of thing. Quite frankly, you know, and I'm not going to say Capitol Grill, because Capitol Grill is pretty pricey, although that's where I would go if I wanted to take somebody to a serious lunch on the Strip. But actually, the restaurant right below it, Maggiano's, which is an Italian restaurant, and it's a chain restaurant, but I like Maggiano's. It's got a good view. It's got great food. You can get off to the corner where you can be, you know, have quiet. You can get a booth, have quiet, be able to have a serious business meeting, and have room to be able to write if you're doing that kind of thing. So I would do Maggiano's. And then off Strip, I would either do Capo's. So here's why I would do Capo's. Capo's is because it's kind of interesting. So if you're trying to lighten the mood a little bit, Capo's is the perfect place to do that. If not that, then I'd probably either do Echo and Rig, which is in the Summerlin area, one of my favorite places, or I might go DW Bistro, which is in the Southwest area, and it's off the beaten path. So it's not a place that most people are hip to, except folks who are in the South area. So like folks at IGT who are down in the South area of the Valley, they'll go to DW Bistro a lot because it happens to be in that area. And they're moving to the, I think it's called the Grammarly location. And I think they're also adding a place, not downtown, but at the Furniture Mart area. So they're really expanding, which is pretty cool. So that's where I would go for lunch. Okay, real quick stories. First of all, thanks again to Stuart for sending in 25 videos for the intro. So again, I like Stuart. He's one of my favorite people in the world. And it will be all Stuart all the time unless you decide to play along. If you're in the live chat right now and you're listening to this and you haven't sold or sent us a video, shame on you. Actually, I'm going to start calling people out. All right, let's see. Shame on you, Ken. Shame on you, Ted and Bob. And let's see, Danny and DJ, Jackie, Jimmy, Ken, Mikes, lots of Mikes, all kinds of people in there. Get Steve's, Rob's, Ted. Come on, people. Help a brother out. Here's how you do it. You're going to take your camera, and you're not going to do this way. You're going to go this way. This is called landscape. And you're going to say, hey, hi, I'm Dave Smith from Effingham, Illinois. And you're watching the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. And then you can say anything you want afterwards, something funny. Wait a minute. You are in the witness protection plan. Well, that's fine. Do this. Hi, I'm Scott from I don't need to see your face. Just have some fun with it. By the way, and if you do that, we'll put you in for an extra Haddam. How's that sound? All right. Here's something I should recommend you guys to do. Two words. Steely Dan. That's it. If they're in your town, go see them. If you like drumming, that drummer is the best live drummer I've ever seen in my life. Now, in the live chat, Danny is writing, she can't do video because of gray hair. Are you kidding me? Come on, Danny. Get in there. Now, what is Jackie, don't do videos or pictures. Really? I've seen videos and pictures of you on your Facebook page. On my Facebook page, you and I have taken video together. Okay, and if you can't do it, block it. Get in there. Help me. Becker and Fagan, Ken, that's right. I'm telling you what, man, holy shit. I've been obsessed with Steely Dan over the last, I don't know, month or two. I saw an article about the song called Asia, which is an album called Asia, and it was a minute-by-minute analysis, and I was, like, really fascinated by this. So I get in there and listen to this song again, and I'm like, God damn, these guys are amazing. So I've been listening to this album every day, easily for the last month. Got a chance to see him over at the Coliseum. And holy shit. But I'm telling you, if you like drummers, this guy, frightening drummer. Okay, let's talk a little bit about sadness in downtown Grand. Yeah. I want to show you. This is the downtown Grand. Two things that happened to downtown Grand this weekend. We had Melissa's cousin was in town, and we met with them on Saturday night, hung out at Pizza Rock. And then we walked them up and down Fremont Street. As we were walking into downtown Graham, I want to show you, behold, the high limit slots room for downtown Graham. Holy Christ, that is pathetic. Oh, man. It just makes me want to say.
Tomahawk said no.
Yeah, so that part's sad. But wait, kids, it gets sadder. So we decide to finish up the evening, and normally, you know, my tip is to park at the valet at downtown Grand because you can get it validated your ticket at Triple George. Otherwise, you got to spend $11 for parking there, for valet parking. Well, we went to go to Triple George after we were done screwing around, and they were closed. They closed at 10. So I'm like, well, what are we gonna do? Well, we're thinking, okay, well, I'm gonna have to go to an ATM and pay for valet, which goes against everything I believe in. But we walk in and decide, well, Somebody had mentioned that maybe if you get a drink at the bar, they might cover valet. So, I said, well, maybe if we just get a drink at the bar. Somebody, me. So we sit down at the bar and order a couple drinks. Now, I ordered a Crown and Diet, and Melissa ordered a fascinating drink, cherry vodka and Diet Coke. So it tasted just like cherry Coke. Holy Christ, it's a good drink. Okay, but here's the deal. $15 for two drinks. Okay, doesn't sound terrible until you see these drinks. The glass that they served these two drinks in was about this tall. What is that? Maybe 5 inches tall? I don't know. And it was about that big around. How big around is that? I don't know. Silver dollar? An old silver dollar? Not very big. That's it. And I'm like, are you guys kidding me? No wonder people aren't coming here. You're jerking these guys off. But then it occurred to me, this glass reminds me of something. And I can tell you exactly what it is. It's the strip club glasses. You know what I'm talking about? So it's those little glasses that strip clubs charge you $15 a drink so you can watch a Mercedes up there on the spinny pole. The downtown Grand is using strip club glasses to serve their alcohol. Oh, man. So high limit, crap. Strip club glasses, crap. The only positive thing of all this was, in fact, if you do get a receipt from the bar and you do show it to the folks at the valet, they will cover the cost. But I'm telling you, no good. Also, I want to send a thanks to Pops. Besides Pops playing along every week in the Haddam video, which I super appreciate, this crazy bastard is adding Living in Las Vegas ads to his other videos. So I see him on Facebook. He's got a YouTube channel where he shows videos of slot machine wins. And, you know, three quarters in the way, he'll throw in a Living in Las Vegas ad. So he's crazy. He's not on drugs. He calls them medication. But, Pops, I really think that's super cool of you. It's folks like you that make this really a lot of fun. And finally, Scott's diet update. I'm down 5 pounds, which is good. I'm yo-yoing a bit right now. I was down as much as 7 pounds, and then this weekend came and stole 2 pounds away from me. I blame it on the, drinking probably. All right, lab check questions. How did Jimmy wants to know, how did BG get the Drinky Pants name? Oh, that I think that happened on one of our very first shows. We were just bullshitting and going back and forth and kind of making fun of each other, and I just called him Drinky Pants. I don't know exactly what brought that up. It stuck. And he's really not that big a drinker. So it is slightly unfair, but nonetheless, that's the deal. Also, I'll give you a I'll come back to that. Teddy Bear wants to know, where does one find water misters on the street? And actually, Ted in the live chat mentioned this during the pre-show. Pretty much anywhere that has outdoor parking, outdoor seating, has misters. You're going to have a harder time finding places that don't have it. If it's a organized thing. Now, if they've got a bunch of little table or chairs and umbrellas, probably not going to get misters there. But like, Segundo Sol, they have misters. Sammy Hagar place has misters. Rum Bar has a shitload of misters. They all pretty much have misters. You're not going to have a hard time finding them. Teddy also wants to know, can someone rent a scooter on the strip? His sister has mobility issues. As a matter of fact, there is an example of somebody who is on a scooter. That's Bud. I showed this picture yesterday or last week. He's on a scooter. Now, he doesn't rent the scooter on the strip. He actually goes off strip for that. And what's cool about it is those guys deliver the scooter to his casino. They move casinos from the strip to downtown. They move the scooter from the strip place to downtown. I don't know the name of it, but if you send me an email, Teddy, I will ask Bud the name of his location because he goes there all the time. Live chat, Ken says he needs a scooter. I had to use my wheelchair the last two times. Yeah. So these guys are great. And they give Bud a pretty good deal, apparently. But Even their regular pricing, which escapes me right now, really sounded pretty reasonable. So, yeah, send me an email, and I'll talk to Bud and get that contact information for you. Jimmy, what's the progress of the new casino at the Stardust? Again, that's Resorts World. They've done a great job of putting up walls and signage on the walls. It looks like their parking garage is doing something, but I really haven't seen anything that looks like real progress. And Pops wants to know, best combo of great food and live and great live music. Great food, great live music. Doesn't include hot dogs and the Fremont Street Experience. Well, given your age, Pops, I'm going to assume you mean music that's actually good music in and of itself. So you can't go wrong with Bootlegger Bistro. They probably have live music every night. I know there's a couple nights where I see other jazz singers here running around doing stuff. You know, clearly I'm partial to Monday nights, which is when Kelly Clinton does her open cabaret. And what's nice about it is they've got a whole bunch of people coming in from the Strip, people that you've known, people in shows that you know, but also people who you've never heard of before, young and old, who come in and it's primarily singing. You will get an occasional comedian. What else is this? What else are we seeing here? I see Ellis Island. Ellis Island would be good if you want to eat and listen to karaoke. Other than that, not so much. Teddy wants to know our last live chat question. Has the circles, what I call the circles of entertainment, made a difference at Fremont Street? Absolutely made a difference. So to recap what happened there, it used to be if you wanted to be a street performer or a busker on Fremont Street, you could basically just stand anywhere you want. Didn't matter what it was. There's some limitations, some guidelines. You had to be so many feet away from the front of a casino, so many feet away from one of the kiosks. But other than that, it was a free-for-all. And a couple things happened. First, there was a whole bunch of just crap, just shit being out there. Second, you had a lot of fights between the entertainers about positioning, right? Because there are some places that are better than others. So the Fremont Street Experience got together with the ACLU or whoever they are, and they came to an agreement about creating spaces, circles, what I call circles of entertainment, where instead of just have a free-for-all, what happens is A, you have to register as an entertainer, and then B, you are assigned a circle, and they're numbered. If you go by Fremont Street, you'll see little numbers next to each one. And instead of being in that one circle for the entire evening, that's not how it works. You actually rotate. So every hour, like basically when the Viva Vision thing goes, you'll see these people pack their shit up and go to the next circle that they've been assigned to. So it has been, I think, an outstanding deal for these guys. Much less crap. You know, I think there might be something to be said for, you know, some of the criminal elements that were doing that before. Probably didn't want to have to sign up or register, even if it didn't get a lot of information. Probably makes a felon nervous when you have to write their names down. So I think the rough nature of that has gotten a lot of better. There's still some homeless people running around with their signs and stuff. And as a matter of fact, we're with my Melissa's cousin and a couple of their good old boy friends from Illinois. And you know, these guys that never been to Vegas are, you know, pretty new to it. And one of them was standing there watching the Viva Vision, and this guy walks up to him, you know, a homeless guy, and says, "Hey, you know," he starts talking to him. And I'm like, "Holy shit, what's this guy trying to do?" Basically, he was trying to get him to watch his dog while he took off. And I'm like, so I stepped in. I'm like, "The fuck you say? This is not happening. Onward, Christian soldier. We're not watching your fucking dog." So you're still going to get a little bit of that. But the circles of entertainment, I think, have really, really done an outstanding job. They just got to get that big fat guy with the diapers out of there, that's all. All right. All right, it's time for Have a Drink on Me. It's part of the show where I show you a picture of a bar, or a lounge, maybe a speakeasy, a pub, and you guess what that thing is. Now, I don't have a co-host here, so I'm going to ask Pops to tell people what they can win.
Let me tell you what you can win this week.
This week's Lucky Hat'em winner can choose any one of three amazing Scott Whitney guitar CDs, Crisp Acoustic 1, Crisp Acoustic 2, or the Jazzathon. Proudly displayed here by Bob, undisputed king of the video Hat'em entry. Or you can choose the comfortable and stylish Vegas Video Network visor like these lucky winners.
Woo-hoo.
Available in the standard black and sometimes in the rare, hard-to-find red, popular with the ladies and the Russians. Or you can choose the premium prize package. The next time you're going to be in Vegas, you can arrange an evening of sophistication and class with the man himself, the guru of all things Vegas, Scott Whitney. Well, okay, at least drinks, laughs, and some priceless conversation.
Send your entry into Have a Drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Thank you, Pops. Now, because we want you to have as many chances as possible to win, if you get one correct answer in there, that's worth one opportunity. But there's, wait, there is more. If you are in the live chat, when you, and if you're in the live chat and you send in a correct answer, guess what? We're going to give you another opportunity to win. If you are the very first correct answer, we're going to give you another opportunity to win. If you send in one of our intro videos, we'll put you in there whether you guessed on anything or not. Or if you show us a picture of the Gajazzathon or one of the Crisp Acoustic CDs in the wild with you in it, we'll also give you a chance. So there you go. There's the Gajazzathon CD with a baby inside. By the way, Christina continues to write me and thank me because if it wasn't for our music, they would not be having babies. I don't know. I just think it's pretty sexy stuff. There's the Gajazzathon CD in Russia. How about that? And wait. There's, of course, more. There's one of the things that we've talked about, of course, is the visor. Let me just show you again what that looks like. You may look at this visor and go, well, there's nothing much to that. It's very well done. Nice stitching. It's not that crappy iron-on nonsense. But is there any more value to it? Is there any more value to it? Of course there is, because if you get this visor, you can send us a picture, and then you become a part of the gallery of God. There's Michael and Scott and and Bud and Alan and Aaron. At the nudist colony, there's Bob and Bob's wife. And wait, there is more. There's Danny and Shanna Chan. And there is Craig and Glenn, Jimmy 2G's. There's Rob and there's Ken, who is cool enough to bring my CD to Hawaii. And then there's Stuart and Christina, whose baby right there happened because of me. There's Don and Jackie and Michael again. What the hell? And there is even more. There's Mike. Good luck on your job search. There's Bubs and there's Sammy and the dog and Brett's dad, buddy Scott. There's Wayne. And of course, there is our friend Brett. Oh, that one went pretty well, I thought. Okay. Let's begin. La-da-dee. We had 24 out of 25 correct answers, and our guy is right there. There it is. The hint was nine fine Irishmen. Say that five times fast, everybody. It's harder than it looks. All right. Let's get into it. La-da-dee. La-da-da. Okay. Number one, Gary Romberg, Mr. Testy. He gets one for the correct answer. He gets another one because he was the first correct answer. Way to go, Gary. Let's see. Monica Fagan, also known as Binky. Andrew Z. Let me just talk about Andrew just for a minute. Andrew's from Canada. Andrew won a couple weeks ago. Andrew was so concerned about me and the cost to send the visor that he wrote me and goes, I'm going to send you $10 to help offset the cost. So even though he's won before, I kind of hope he wins again just because he's a nice guy. course, I won't be sending anything in the mail. Hopefully he'll want for his CDs. And maybe I'll just give him the MP3 files. All right, we've got Chet from Wisconsin. I think Chet might be in the live chat. Let's see. There he is. Chet and Barb. One for the correct answer. One for being in the live chat. Way to go, Chet. And we've got Barb, the wife. Here's a good example, folks. You want to double your pleasure, double your fun. Get married. Get you both in the live chat. Send in stuff. They now have four opportunities to win. How great is that? All right. Continue on. Glenn Santa. One for the correct answer. Jimmy 2G's. One for the correct answer. One for being in the live chat. I need somebody to be able to do this remotely. Okay. Tammy Mossbrucker, one for the correct answer. Aaron Perry, one for the correct answer. Kevin Whip from the Canada. Christina V, who, by the way, is having a pool built because she is very smart. Ken Anderson, one for the correct answer. One for being in the live chat. Rob Cole, one for the correct answer from Las Vegas, and one for being in the live chat. All right. Robert C., also known as Robbo68, Pittsburgh, in the live chat. One for the correct answer. Robbo68 in the live chat. Attaboy, Robbie. Rob's a good guy. He likes long walks on the beach, cold toilet seats. Mike Lizowski. Mike, are you in there? One for the correct answer. There he is, Matt Chipmunk. Mike. Oh. Pops in the live chat. After 50 wins, Scott mails you a Toyota. Seems fair. Seems unlikely, but it seems fair. Laura Meekin, who's also from Canada, she writes, it's a 9 Fine Irishman. When we stayed there last year, we plan to return next year. If I don't get this wrong, God help me. God's not here for you, Laura. Sorry. Andy Schulman. Andy, are you in the live chat? One for the correct answer. I'll keep an eye out for that. Andy, New Hampshire. I think that's the same Andy, right? Bob McAdams, who sometimes goes by Baba Louie. And we've got Michael Snow working on getting the photo to us to get himself in the gallery or galaxy group. What a great shot with Chicago in the background, because he's known as Chicago Snowman. Michael Snow gets one for the correct answer and one for being in the live chat. Only 50 more to go. And Brett Barnes from Paradise. What a fun group, including the live chat. Well, thank you, Brett. Brent, sorry. And I got you, Andy. All right. As we continue. Alan Perry. One for the correct answer. Alan writes, hey, guys. The Adam Bar for this week is 9 Fine Irishmen at New York, New York. This may have been the easiest Adam so far, given the first clue. Surprised not to see a leprechaun here. I think the list is narrowed down to two possible bars, Re-Raw and 9 Fine Irishmen. O'Shea's gets eliminated because they do have a leprechaun. The second clue about New York led me to the proper selection. Didn't even need to see the picture. Nice one, Scott. Alan Perry from Prescott, Arizona. Thank you, Alan. Next up, we've got Craig Daughtry, Vegas Dog, 222. One for the correct answer. One for being in the live chat, I believe. Let me double check that. Yep. I already owe Craig. As many of you recall, Craig canceled on me 3 minutes before our last had him because he had a hotter date, apparently. Nonetheless, I will still read his email. Scott and BG, howdy, howdy. What's up, Pimp and Wayne? Nice show last week. Just finished watching. I was in the live chat last week. watching, but was so intoxicated that I don't remember anything. Just got home in time for the show after a four-course wine dinner. Awesome! My bad with the rookie move on the opening video. Only landscape going forward. No problem, brother. Anyways, this week's Adam is at New York, New York. It's 9 fine Irishmen. Vegas stock 222 out. All right. And we've got Mike Beatty. There you go. Mike writes, hey, Scott, this week's Haddam is 9 fine Irishmen at New York, New York. Is there any updates on Brett? We continue to keep him in our prayers. Try to stay cool. Try to stay calm. Yes, I do have an update on Brett. I got a text from him 2 days ago asking to get back on the show. So he was going to be here today, but then he realized he had a last-minute thing going on. So I don't know exactly when he'll be back, but he definitely wants to be back. So that, folks, of course, is good news. And then finally, I give to you Pops.
All right, kids, I guess this proves that having extra entries works. Last week, I became a 4-time winner of the Haddam contest. And when my entry was thrown back for a redraw, when I gave it away, whose name was drawn? Bob's, because he's always got 3 or 4 entries. We try to do everything we can to get as many entries as we can. We've seen some great intro videos for the show. Same people can send in a Haddam video every week. It doesn't take but just a minute. Do it with your cell phone. Just remember to turn it landscape and not portrait. That means, you know, like sideways, like the screen look, so it's not up and down. Y'all don't step up, start sending in some videos. I'm gonna quit giving away wind. Right now, I've got some visor, jazzathon, and
these nuts.
I'm gonna win me some more. See ya.
Florida, Sunshine State, huh? That's sort of like that everything that happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. No, it doesn't. That shit ends up on YouTube.
All right, Pops gets one for the correct answer. Pops gets one for being in the live chat. Pops gets another one for being, or for sending that video. Okay, let's pick one. Let's pick us a winner. He also sent a nice email saying that he didn't know what a fucking lower third was until this show. See? Helping people. That's what we do. All right, let's see what we got. Our winner is Alan Perry, everybody. All right, Alan. I think he's won pretty much everything. We'll see what he wants. You can win a hat or he can win a drink. Probably take the drink, knowing Alan. Or, of course, one of our CDs. All right. Let's take a look at what we've got for this week's Have a Drink Upon Moi. This week's Have a Drink on Me. There it is. Okay. Hint number one. Could have been called 2112. Hint number one, this bar could have been called 2112. Hint number two, it's a good bar to go to if you're in a hurry. Hint number two, this would be a good bar to go to if you're in a hurry. And then hint number three, listen, clue number one should about do it for this bar on Fremont Street. Hint number three, that clue number one, the 2112, should just about have done it for this here bar on Fremont Street. All right, folks, if you want to send in your answer, you send it to haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. Again, haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. All right, there you go. Working on a pretty cool guest. I think that should be either fascinating or goofy. I got two different guests. Either one will be pretty interesting. We'll hopefully have those guys on next week. Hey, if you want to reach out to us, here's how you do that. You send us an email to onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. If you want to send us a voicemail, it's super easy to do that. All you do is go to our homepage, click the red tab on the right side. That'll pop up a box. You'll click start recording, and you'll start recording because you have a microphone attached to your computer. By the way, we're on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. We're on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up. Share us with people. You'll also find us on Roku, Stitcher, TuneIn, Chromecast, Apple and Google, and Chrome TV, Fire TV, Google Play, and of course, we're on the VegasVideoNetwork.com website. Thanks very much, everybody, for playing along. We're going to see you guys next week on the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network.
Back.